Begin the current daf, Masech the Sanhedrin, daf Mem Gimel. Begin 13 lines down by the top of the Amud, the first of the wide lines, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, and that is, although our Mishnah had said, opening up this parak of Nigmar HaDin, when someone gets taken out to be stoned, if he's Chayiv the Misa of Skila, that they have to take him out from the courthouse to the Beis HaSkila, which is out of that, the Gemara illustrated from a Braisa that also has to be out of the Shalosh Machnas, out of all the three camps, Machnas Shechina, Machnas Leviyah, Machnas Yisrael, which in the regular city means out of the city, like in Yerushalayim, it means out of Yerushalayim, which is the Machnas Yisrael. So the Gemara says, how do we know this halacha from? So the Gemara brought a Braisa that learned it from a Gzeri Shava, comparing Mechutz LaMachna from Parma HaNisrafim. Rav Papa gave a different interpretation, saying we know from the Psukim, because the biblical paradigm of the one who got Skila was in the Midbar, which was the Makal, the one who blasphemed, who cursed God, that he was taken out to be killed. So Rav Papa had explained the Psukim of Haitzeh Makal, take him out, who is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, who is already Machna Leviyah, which takes him out of Leviyah. Then it says another Pasuk that take out, it says Vayutziu Es Makal, they took him out, which is another one, take him out of Machna Yisrael. So on that, the Gemara continues, Rav Ashim, he gives a third interpretation, which is similar but different than Rav Papa's. He says, Meisha Heicha HaBiyasim. Where was Meisha? That he starts off the same as Rav Papa. But Machna Leviyah, he was in the Levite camp, because he was a Levi. Now, Vamalechman, the Torah told him, Hashem says, Haitzis Makal, take out the Makal. So far he's the same as Rav Papa, but this is where it changes. When he just says, take out the Makal, so that itself says, take him out from where you are. So that tells us already Chutz Machna Leviyah, out of the Levite camp. But he then breaks up the words of the Pasuk, which Rav Papa doesn't do, and he says it, when then the Pasuk then says, El Mechutz LaMachna, to out of the camp, what do you mean? Taking him out without saying Mechutz LaMachna is already taking him out of Chutz LaMachna. Why is saying the extra words of Mechutz LaMachna? Chutz LaMachna Yisrael, that says to take him out of another camp, even out of the Machna Yisrael. Now, so then how does he explain Vayitziu Es Makal when it says that they took out the Makal, which Rav Papa had actually used to say, because he didn't darshan the word al Mechutz LaMachna different from Vayitziu. He didn't break it into two different taking outs. One, so he used Vayitziu Es Makal to tell you the next one of taking out of Machna Yisrael. But Rav Ashi that already knows it from that Pasuk, what does he use with the Pasuk that then they took out the Makal? That's Lasiyah. That's to tell you that they actually did it. The other Pasuk is talking about the command that was told what they should do. This is saying that they actually went ahead and did that. Now, but that the Gemara asks, Asiyah Behedik Sibuhun. The Gemara had a similar discussion when it was discussing Rav Papa, but that already says in the Pasuk that they did. It says, Ubnei Yisrael Asu Kasha Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. It says that the Jewish people did whatever Hashem commanded. Why would it need to say all the steps that they did? It already said they did everything, which is including this. It says, the Gemara, Hahu, that Ubnei Yisrael. In other words, this Pasuk of Yitzis Makal is talking about that they went and they took him out and that they stoned him. So what's it saying? And the Jewish people did whatever Hashem commanded. That's to include other parts of the halacha of stoning. Mibayle, it's required for Chad L'smicha v'chad L'tchiyah, which the Bach brings, which is the Girsa from Rashi, not the word that one is teaching, but it's necessary to tell you two halachas that the Jewish people did, that they did smicha on the one who was going to be stoned, and they pushed him. Which those two elements are written in the command, what they were told to do with the Makal, but it doesn't say explicitly that they did that. That's where the Pasuk concludes and says, and they did everything that Hashem commanded to Moshe, which even includes smicha and dechiyah. What's smicha? Smicha is b'samchu kol Hashem, and whoever hears has to lean their hands on the person who's going to get killed. And dechiyah, which it doesn't say over here, but actually the Gemara later on, the Memhei Amud Aleph, will bring from the Halacha of Har Sinai, which says yara yara, which teaches that the person, the one who's going to get stoned, one of the witnesses comes and pushes him off the height of the Beis HaSkila, which is two stories high. They push him off. Those are the two halachas that are being learned out from Bnei Yisrael Asu Kasher Tzibra Hashem Es Moshe. So on that, the Gemara asked, however, Amali Rabban L'Rav Ashi, Lididach, according to you, that you expound, not like Rav Papa, you split up the words of the Pasuk of Haitza separately and Mechutz LaMachna separately, and that's how you learn out from Machna Levi and then Machna Yisrael. So then, kol hani haitzi d'chsivim b'parman d'sofim. All the times it says to take out by the parman d'sofim, which the parhelm koin mashiach, parhelm dovish l'tzibah and parakoin mashiach, where they're the bulls that get totally burnt outside. So it says the word taking out, my darsh tabu, what are you going to expound from that? In other words, according to the other interpretations, Rav Papa, you don't darsh in the word to take out haitzi separately. It's part of el mechutz l'machna. So we already explained on the previous staff what the word al mechutz l'machna comes to teach over there. But according to you, that you actually split it up, and haitzi is one thing, mechutz l'machna is another thing. What do you expound with haitzi? Says the Gemara Kasha, that's a difficulty according to Rav Ashi's interpretation. So now that was the Gemara's sourcing for that halacha from the Braisa of the Beis Haskila being out of the Shalosh Machnas. And that the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah. We said, Echad Oimed Chulu, we said that when they're sending this person on his way to the Beis Haskila to be stoned, so there's someone that stands by the gateway of the courthouse with these cloths, these flags in his hand, Chulu, etc., which is to signal to the one who has the horse, just in case if they have a fine, they find a way of saying that he's not guilty to bring him back. Now, Rav Huna, relating to this halacha of the Mishnah, that the guy holds the flag, Rav Huna says as follows. He says, Pshitli, it's obvious to me that Echad Evan Shenitzlaba, whether it's the stone that this guy is getting stoned with, or the Echad Eich Shenitzlaba, whether the wood that he's getting hung from, or the Echad Saif Shenitzlaba, whether the sword that he's getting beheaded from, the Echad Sudah Shenitzlaba, whether the kerchief that he's getting choked with, which are the four different types of Mises Bezdin, which you need some tools to do that, Kula Mishal Tzibr, all of them are supplied from the public fund. My time, what's the reason? We don't tell somebody, here, bring your own stuff that we could use you to kill you with. We don't do that. These things are paid for from the public fund. But Boyer Avuna, what Avuna did have a question was, Sudushim and Nifim, by this halacha of our Mishnah, regarding the flag that they hold up, and then Mesus Sharatzim Amid, and then the horse that runs quickly to catch the ones that are going to take him to be killed, to stop them, to say, look, we got to go back to the court, they might find a way of exonerating him. Mishal Mihu, who pays for that? Who pays for the flag? Who pays for the horse? In other words, Kivin, that's all the day, since it's to save him. Mididehu, do you say he has to pay for that expense? Maybe, no, Kivin de Beidina. Mechayavin Lamevet Bahatzala, since the court has an obligation, like it says in the Pasuk, Betzilo Eida, to go ahead and try to save him, Mididu, it comes from the public fund. That's the question. Now, so he had another question. Hadam Remchir Baravashi, Rav Chizda, that they said, Hayetzi Laharik, something that's going out to be executed. Mashkenaisi Kairit Shalavainu, so they give him to drink something that has a Kairit, a certain measurement of frankincense, but Kairit Shalyain, that's in a cup of wine. Why? Kedesh Titarav Daiti, so that he should become muddled, his brain. He shouldn't be worried, and he should be not in a clear state of mind, so that the death should go easy for him. Shanema, how do we know this? It says a Pasuk in Mishlei, it says, Tenu Sheikh Elaibit, give hard, intoxicating drink to the one who's lost. V'yayin Lamari Nefesh, and wine to the bitter of the soul, meaning it makes it easy for him. He doesn't realize what's happening before he knows it, he's dead. Now, but Tanya learned in the Braisa that Nashim Yikari Shabir Shalim, the precious women of Jerusalem, and they would donate and they would bring it to the one who's being executed. But the question is, Lo Yisnadvu Nashim Yikari, let's say they do not donate it. Let's say the supply is down. Mishalmi, who has to pay for that? So now the Gemara says, Havadi Mistabi Mishal Tzibir. Regarding that last question, it's definitely logical to say that the public has to pay for it. Kim Nechsev Tnu, since the pasuk we brought from Mishlei regarding giving the one who's embittered, the one who's going to get killed, that he should have hard drink, it says in the pasuk Tnu, you should give, in the plural, it sounds like Minidu has to come from the public fund. So that question was resolved. Now, Bayimene Ravachaba Arhunam Rav Sheshes. Amr Echad Min HaTalmidim, regarding the halachas of a Mishnah regarding trying to find favor for the person that he should not be executed. Let's say Amar Echem and Tamidim, one of the students say, Yeshli Lalam Lav Schos, I have something to find in his favor that he should not be guilty. But then, Vinishtatik, he becomes mute. Ma, what's the halacha? Do we say that if he had not gone mute, he probably would have had substance in what he's saying, and therefore we have to turn over the judgment, and we got to bring new judges again, because we can't execute him, we don't know. Maybe he really had something that was legitimate, and we can't know this anymore because he's mute. We got to start over the court case again. So Menafek Rav Sheshes B'yadish, Rav Sheshes waved away with his hand, in other words saying, that's empty wind what you're saying. Because since he's Neshtatik, he became silenced, so what does it help? If you're going to tell me that we have to be suspect, that because maybe he would have had something to say, then even someone at the other end of the world, I could say, wait a second, by everyone who's being taken out to be executed, maybe someone at the other end of the world has something to say about him that he won't be guilty. Obviously, we don't say that and we take him out to be killed. To which the Gemara responds back and asks, wait a second, how could you compare that? Hasam Lekama, what are you saying? Someone else on the other end of the world, he didn't start saying anything. Hachakama, here the person started saying that he has what to say. So there would be reason to suspect, and we would have to turn over the court and start over the court case. My, what's halacha? So the Gemara says, Toshima, let's bring a raya, because the Amr Abusa Reb Chanin, he said, Echamin al Tamidim Shazicha, regarding one of the students that he says something, he says a logic, a theory, that would be reason to find this person not guilty. Umates, but then he passes away before they get a chance to count for the final verdict to pass down the judgment. So says the Braisa, we view him as if he's alive and standing in this place, and we count him as a judge who's saying he's not guilty. So says the Gemara, Zika in. So we see only when he actually said the Svara and he's holding to that opinion of why the person is not guilty. But loy zichaloy. If he only says that I have what to say, but he never said it, he never came out and said that he's not guilty, then you see that we wouldn't go ahead and say that we have to overturn the verdict and start over again. To which the Gemara says, no. Zika pshitali. What Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina was saying, that if he says the Svara, he comes out and says his opinion, and he says he's not guilty, then it's obvious, then we would view him as if he's still alive. But Amar Tibaylach, but when he says that he has what to say, then I could tell you that then it'd still be a question. In other words, Rabbi Yosef was just saying what's normative. Normative is that a person doesn't die or become mute the second after he says, I have what to say. So generally what would happen is that he first brought his proofs and he said his whole claim, and then it could happen in the long terms of the court case that he could pass away or become mute. But I could tell you that although it was obvious to him that the case of Zika, it would be Aymid Bukai, but maybe by the case of when he says, I have what to say, it would still be a question there, but it's not resolved from this. Maybe there still would be an element of saying that maybe he had what to say, and we would have to overturn it, and therefore the Gemara does not resolve that question. So the Gemara continues, explain the halacha of a Mishnah that said, afilu hu v'chulu. Even if the defendant himself was going out to be executed, says, I have what to say for myself, that I could prove I'm not guilty, we take him back. Now, the Gemara asks that, v'afilu pam rishayne b'shniya, that even the first or second time, is it that the halacha the Mishnah applies? When the Mishnah said, the Mishnah said, look, he can't just play games with us. As long as we see the substance of what he's saying, then we take him back. But if he doesn't have, sounds like that even the first or second time, if he's not saying something substantive, we're not going to take him back. On that, as the Gemara of the Braise said, Pam Rishayin the Mishniya, the first and second time, Bein Sheyesh Mamish B'Dvarav, Bein She'ein Mamish B'Dvarav, whether he has something that's of substance or not, Machzir Nasi, we take him back. Mekama Eilach, from the third time and on, Imyesh Mamish B'Dvarav, Machzir Nasi, if what he's saying has substance, we still take him back. Ein Mamish B'Dvarav, Ein Machzir Nasi, but if there's no substance in what he's saying, we don't take him back. So we see that, but the first two times, you don't have to have substance. So Amar Papa, he says, you're right, Targuma Mipam Shneva Eilach. Translate the halacha of a mission that says we only take him back if there's substance. What he's saying is from after the second time and onward. But yeah, the first two times, even if there's no substance. Now, the Gemara would ask, Benal Yadi, how do those who are taking him to be stoned know if what he's saying has substance or not? Do you think the court agents are Tamid HaChacham who know if what he's saying has mamash or not? So Mabai says, yeah, because the Masrinale, we hand over from after the second time and on, a Zugad Rabbanan, we send along a peer of Tamid HaChachamim to go with him, and they check and say, okay, this guy's not saying anything, let's go, let's stone him. Versus if he does, then they take him back. And that's what Iyikam Amish B'dvav in, if what he's saying has substance, then they take him back. Iloi loi, but if not, not. Now, but then the Gemara asks, V'lim Tzulei Meikara, then why don't you do that from the beginning? The first time they're sending him to be stoned, why don't they send along a pair of Tamid HaChacham and they won't take him back even the first time unless the substance what he's saying? Why do we play this game the first two times? So I think Gemara says no, because Agav Diba is Lematzi Amr Kamai De Islay. Since he's afraid, he's in terror, he's sheer terror, he's about to be executed, he's not going to be able to say something that would be coherent and clear. So if the Tamid HaChacham are going to be on the first time and saying, what's that svar? I don't understand the logic. He's not going to be able to get out what he wants to say. So then for the first two times, we don't send along. Even if it seems like there's no substance, we send them back. But just because he's not going to be clear, but after that time, it's already becoming a charade. Then from the third time and on, we send along a period of time at the Chum and only take him back if there's mamash b'dvar. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the same theme regarding taking out someone to be stoned. So matzli schus pachu. So let's say they take him back and they find reason to say that he's not guilty. So then they let him go. Vimla, but if not, Yetzi L'Sakol, they take him out to be stoned. V'chruz Yetzi L'Fanim, and there's an announcement that goes out in front of him. Ish Pleini ben Pleini, this man, the son of that man, Yetzi L'Sakol, is going out to be stoned. Al Sha'ava Aver Pleinis, because he violated that sin. U'Pleini Pleini Edev, and these two people are the witnesses. Komish L'Yidei L'Ischus, whoever knows merit for this guy to hopefully, we can still overturn the verdict, to say that he's not guilty. Yavav Yilamar Lav should come along and teach something regarding him so that people know, and maybe the something in the 11th hour will come along and save him. Now, Amma Baya Baya adds on, but Tzach L'Meima, they also have to say, B'Yoyim Pleini on that day, U'Bishab Pleini and on that hour, U'Bimokim Pleini in that place. Why? Because Dilma Ikadiyadi, maybe someone will know the Asu Umazim, and it'll be Mazim. Meaning, it's not enough just to say that if someone knows regarding this person, also give those details, because the guy's going to say, what? He did that sin in that time, in that place? What do you mean? Then he was with me in the other place doing something else. And they'll say, wait a second, it must have been that the witnesses were liars and false, and then they'll go and be mazim them, and therefore save them, so they have to add on this element too. Now the Mishnah said, v'chruz yaitz lefanam, they make an announcement in front of the individual as he's going out to be stoned. Now the Gemara asks, lefanav in? Is that to say that it's only when he's going to be taken to be stoned in front of him, but mi'kar alai? But beforehand, let's say 40 days beforehand, then they don't go ahead and make an announcement regarding this guy that he's being executed? But as the Chesroin Seshas brings, which was the original document of the Gemara before it was censored, it says in the Gemara, V'hatanya. But we learned the Braisa that seems to say it's not only then, it's even 40 days before he's going to be executed that they make these announcements. Because we learned in the Braisa, it says, Be'erva Pesach, an Erev Pesach, Taluhu li Yeshu HaNoitri. They hung Yeshu HaNoitri. V'achrud Yetz Lefanav Arboim Yoim. And 40 days before they made the announcement, Yeshu HaNoitri Yetz L'Sakal. They're going out to be stoned. Asha Kishev, because they practiced sorcery, V'hesis V'adich Es Yisrael, and that he was trying to get the Jewish people to commit idol worship. Whoever knows a merit for him to show that he's not guilty should come and teach something regarding him. But they did not find anyone to say that he's not guilty. And they hung him on Erev Pesach. So seemingly you see that the halacha is not just as they're taking him, but even 40 days before. Now Amar Ula Ula says, but v'tizbe, is that logical to say that that's what the court did? But Yeshu HaNoitzi Yirbah HaFuch Yischusu, do you think Yeshu HaNoitzi is someone that we should even try to find favor to try to show that he's not guilty? But Mesis who? But he was someone that was seducing the Jewish people to go away from Torah law. V'achmanam, and the Torah says in Devarim Yud Gimel Tes, Leisach Mav Leisach HaChaslav, you should not have mercy, you should not cover him. We don't try to be Melamed Zchus. Ella, rather, and that's going to answer both questions, Shani Yeshu HaNoitzi, Yeshu HaNoitzi is different, the car of Lamalchus Haba. He was close to the government. And that's why they tried to find, they were saying they were opening up to everyone to say, if you want to show that he's not guilty, please come. And they even opened up 40 days before, but you're right. Generally, for a Mesa Madech, we don't find Zchus at all. And like we said in our Gemara, neither do we do it 40 days before at all. Now, related to this discussion, the Gemara says, turn one, learn the Braisa. Chamisha tamidim hoyu lele Yesha HaNeitzi. There was five students for Yesha HaNeitzi. Ve'elehin, and they are Matai, Nakai, Natzer, Ubuni, V'teida. And the Gemara tells us that Asiyu l'Masai, they brought Masai, and Amalahu, he said to them, Masai Yaharik, is Masai going to be killed? Haksiv, the Pasuk says, until him embeis Gimel, Masai, and he was playing on the words, until him, to show that his name indicates that he's a righteous person. He says, Masai avay ve'ro penelikim, when will I come and see the face of God? So you see that means I'm a righteous person. Amalahu, they said to him, in, yes, Masai Yaharik, Masai will be killed. Haksiv, like it says, the Pasuk, until him alavav, Masai Yamis, which, again, it's a play on the words. It means literally, Masa Yamas, when will he die? Va'avit Shmayin, his name will be obliterated. But it means, Masa Yamas, Masa will die. Then Nasula Naka, then they brought the other student. Amalahu, he said to them, Naka Yaharg, will Naka be killed? But V'ksiv, the Pasuk says in Shmayis Chav Gimel Zayin, V'naki V'tzadik Al-Tarik, that a pure and righteous person will not be killed, but it has his name within Naka. Amalahu, they said to him, in, yes, Naka Yaharg, Naka will be killed. V'ksiv, like it says, the Pasuk in Tehillim Yud Ches, B'mistarim yarig naki. In concealment, Naki will be killed. What that refers to is because actually this Naki was a murderer, and he's fit to be killed because he killed in clandestine, in private. Now again, all these responses are just for the purposes of the nations, who since they were close to the government, so they had to have responses for all their empty claims, like what, because his name could sounds like that word, so therefore he's clean, so they have to come back with responses. But again, they're just ways of responding so that they have legitimacy in the eyes of the nations. Asula Netzer, they brought Netzer. Amlahu, he said to them, Netzer Yaharig, will Netzer be killed? But Ksiv, the Pasuk in Yeshayah Yud Alf says, Menetzer Mishurash of Yifrach. But Yifrach, it says that the Netzer, the sprout, from its root will blossom. So you see, it's a way of blossoming. Amrulay, they said to him, in Netzer Yaharik, he'll be killed. Like says the Pasuk in Yeshayah Yudal Yutes, Va'ata Shlachta Mikivrecha, that you send forth from the grave, can Netzer Nisa, like a disgusting Netzer, again showing that your name also can mean something of disgust. Asu Lebuni, they brought Buni. Amalahu, he said to them, Buni Yaharik, will Buni be killed? But Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Shemois Dal Chabbeis, Buni, so it sounds like Buni, Bani Bechari Yisrael, that my firstborn of the Jewish people is Buni. Amrulai, they said to him, in Buni Har, yeah, Buni will be killed. So it's like it says the Pasuk in over there in Pasuk of Gimel, Hine Anoichi Harigis Bincha Becharecha. Behold, I'm going to kill your Bini, that's your firstborn, which again has his name over there, that, yeah, of being killed. Then Nasula Taida, they brought the last student, Taida, Amalahu, he said to them, Taidi Har, will Taida be killed? But except the Pasuk in Tilam Kof Aleph says, Mizmar Lasaida, a song for Taida. Taida is good. Amrulai, they said to him, "In yes, Taidi Harik Taidi will be killed." Except like it says the pasuk in Tilam Nun Chav Gimel, "Zeveach Taidi Chabdonani." Whoever slaughters Taida will be honoring me, and therefore, they not only killed him, but they killed his five students because of the practice of idolatry. But that answers the Gemara's question that yes, only Lefanav Mikarlai, and that was an exception to the rule regarding Geisha Naitzu. Now, as a continuum Tamid Beis, which actually makes a lot of sense, what's related if you have the fus, what was nishmat, of what was censored, which quoted a pasuk, which the Gemara continues on the theme of that pasuk. Amir B'shu ben Levi, called Zaveich HaSyitzah, whoever slaughters his inclination, which means to say that after that he was seduced to sin, he then slaughters it and he kills it and he repents, umisvadalav, and he confesses on it. Malalav HaKasav, so the pasuk compares, kilu kibdu l'kodesh boruch b'shnei olam, as if he honored Hashem in two worlds, ha'il mazeh, v'il mabon, this world and the world to come. The Simlik says in that pasuk and tell him that we just ended off regarding the last of the students whose name was Taida, Zeveach Taida Ichabdanani. But here in this context, we use it different, that whoever slaughters and he's Mizvada, that the word Taida also shares that same root, and he confesses, then Hashem says in the plural, that meaning the two nuns, Ichabdanani, is that you honor me two times, once in this world and once in the world to come. Another teaching from Rabbi Shmuel Levi on this topic. The time when the temple was around, so a person could bring a carbon oila, then we would get the reward of a carbon oila. Mincha, a flower offering, we get the reward of a flower offering. Of a misha daiti shvalas, someone that's humble of spirit, the pasuk equates as if he sacrificed every one of the carbonas. Shenemlik says the pasuk in Tehillim, zivche elokim, the karbanis of God, which is in the plural, sounds like all these karbanis, is ruach nishbara, is a broken spirit. So someone that's humble, that considers him low in regards to the physical aspect, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, like, he brought all the karbanis, which is really the element of the karbanis, which is to slaughter the physical and to identify with the spiritual. Below you, not only that, yelashayin tefillas in the messes, but even more is that his tefillah doesn't get repulsed. When he prays to Hashem, Hashem listens. Shanem, like it says over there in the pasuk, it says, Lev nishba v'nitka, a broken heart and the downtrodden, elekim leisivsa, that you, Hashem, your custom is not to disgrace someone that has such a prayer. That prayer is not discussed, and that's listened to by Hashem. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme regarding the guy who's being taken out to be stoned. So, Hayirachig me beis askila ke'es amas, when they were around 10 amas away from the beis askila, which is where they go up and they throw him down and they stone him, Oimim lo hizvada. So, when the 10 amas away, they tell him, look, confess. Shekein derech kol amam musim hizvada, because that's the way of all those who are about to die, that they say vidui, they say confession. Shekolam hizvada, yesh lechelik, whoever confesses, which is part of the person has remorse, but part of the mitzvah is the mitzvah of vidui, which is to confess, then he has a portion of the world to come. Shekein mitzin the ba'achin, like we find ba'achin. Shamala Yeshua, that Yeshua told him, as it says in Sefer Yeshua, B'ni, my son, Simno kavod LaHashem Elokeinu, give honor to Hashem, the God of the Jewish people, V'ten lo taida, which is from the word of, like we quoted before, it means vidui, of confession. Confess that you did something wrong. V'yan ochen est Yeshua v'yema, and ochen, he responded and he said, Amna, truth is, anechitas, I did sin, which is by Yerichai, that they were told not to take anything, and he went and he took stuff. Not only that, and like this, that I did, which the Gemara explained that he actually misappropriated by other haramim, which is when the Jewish people had conquered certain places, Hashem said, don't take from those spoils of war. Not only did he take by this time with Yeshua, but even took other times in the past. Now says the Mishnah, Minayin Shekibalei Viduye, and how do we know that his confession atoned for him? Because that's what we're telling the one who's about to be stoned. Shem, like it says over there later on, it says, Vayemi Yeshua, Yeshua said to Achin, Ma'achar Tani, why have you made it all cloudy for us? Yachorcha Hashem b'yem hazeh, let Hashem make it for you confounding. Now, what does it say b'yem hazeh? It's b'yem hazeh at achor. It's only now, when you're going to be executed in this world, that it's achor, that it's muddly for you. B'viyat achor l'yem haba, but it will not be cloudy for you in the world to come. There you'll have a chelik, there you'll have atonement. Now, says the Mishnah, v'imeni yedeh l'zvadis, if he doesn't know how to confess, so only they tell him, very simple, Emor say, Tehi misasi kapara al kol ha'benoisei, that my death should be an atonement for all my sins. He says, if the person that's being executed knows that the witnesses who testified regarding were liars, and they plotted, and they're really Edim Zayman, and they plotted and they just got away with the court, and that's why he's getting killed. So then he should say, let my death be an atonement for all my sins, because people do sins. Except for this sin, because he knows he didn't commit the sin. But Amalei, the Rabban disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda, and they said to him, no, Imkin, if that would be the case, you call Adam, then every single person, even those who are real sinners, Ibrahim Kane, they're going to say the same thing, so that they should clean their record from people, and moreover, they're going to be spreading rumors regarding the witnesses, and the judges say, wait a second, this guy is about to be killed, doesn't he know he's going to the world of truth, and he said it, besides the sin, must have been that the witnesses were liars, and the court was rigged, so therefore the Rabban disagreed and say, no, even if the guy didn't do it, should not say that clause of besides for this sin that they're executing me for. Now the Gemara elaborates on the halacha of confession before one gets killed. Tanabon Linda Braisa, the Pasuk says in Sefer Yeshua, Perek Zayin Pasuk Gittes, which we quoted part from before in the Mishnah, says the Yeshua said to Achan, my son, please give honor to Hashem, the God of the Jewish people. Give him confession and say what you did and don't hold back from me. Now it used the term over there of simna chavit, please give honor. Now, eina elashin bakasha, the term na means like please, pleading, requesting. Why was Yeshua pleading with Achan? What was his big request? So the Gemara tells us that b'shosh amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yeshua, at the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yeshua, as it says in Sefer Yeshua, Chati Yisrael, the Jewish people has sinned, Am lefanav, so Yeshua said in front of Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, michata, master of the world, who sinned? From all I know, my men did not take from the spoils of war which you had said that no one should be taking. So Amalei, Hashem said to him, V'chidilter ani? What, you think I'm a rachel? You think I'm someone that's a gossiper? I'm going to tell you who did something wrong? Lech hipul garelis. Go make a lottery and you'll find out who's the one that comes out. And he's the one that sinned by taking from the spoils of war. So halach v'hipul garelis. So that's what Yeshua went. He did and he made a lottery. V'nafal ha-garel alachin and fell on Achin. So Amalei, so Achin said to Yeshua that, Achin said, Yeshua, but garel at the ba'alai? With a lottery, you're coming to kill me without any witnesses? I'll show you the flaw in what you're trying to do. Atav Elazar HaKain, you and Elazar the Kain. Shnei Gedor HaDor Atam, you're the two greatest of the generation. If I'm going to make a lottery between the two of you, Alechem Mekem Unayva, it's going to fall on one of you. Does that mean one of you is evil? You're taking the whole Jewish people, it's going to fall on somebody because it fell on me, that means to say I did something wrong. It has to land on somebody. So Amalai, so Yeshua said to him, look, I plead with you, and that's why he said to him, no. Don't start spreading rumors regarding the lotteries that as if it's flawed of a system. Because Eretz Yisrael is going to ultimately be divided by lottery, like Shanem, like says the Pasuk in Bemidbar, Ach Begaril Chalik Es Haaretz, that however, only with a lottery will the land be split, and if you're going to start saying that something wrong, you're going to make a whole tumult in the whole Eretz Yisrael, that no one's going to be happy with what they have and say, oh, the lottery, what does that prove? Ten Taida, therefore he said, please give confession. Ravina says, Shechude Shachti Bemili. Yeshua, so to speak, bribed him with words until he confessed. Because he said the words, Tenli Toid, give me confession. So he thought, okay, all Yeshua is asking for is a confession, and they're not going to kill me. He says, just confess, that's all. Klum Navakish Mimcha Elohida, are we asking from you anything more than the confession? Tenli Toid, Devi Potter, give confession, and then you'll be done. Miyad, so immediately, V'yan Ochen es Yeshua, V'yemes, so Ochen responded to Yeshua, and he said, the truth is, I sinned to Hashem, the God of the Jewish people, by taking from this misappropriation of the spoils of war. And like this I did, which, so he already said, which is once, that's two more times, that makes for a total of three times. So it says, that there were three different spoils of war which were prohibited by Hashem to take from the spoils of war, and he did it three times. Two times in days of Moshe. One is that one of Kenani Melech Arad, which was in Bimidbar Chaf Aleph, that says that the Yidu Yisrael Neda, that they made a vow they're not going to take Vacharamti Asareim, and I made that Cheirim forbidden to take from their cities, which was a prohibition of having benefit. And another one, which doesn't say where, another other cities that Moshe Rabbeinu said that you're not to take from, and he did it two times. Vechad B'mei Yeshua, and the third one was this one that we just mentioned in days of Yeshua. Shnoik says in the Pasuk, Kizais Ukizais Asisi. Besides that, he says that this time, he says, and like this I have done, which adds on another two times. Reb Yechon Omer Reb Shimon Reb Lozer Reb Shimon, he says actually Chamisha did it five times. Arba b'mei Moshe, four in the days of Moshe, v'echad b'mei Yeshua, once in the days of Yeshua, shenom, like it says in the Pasuk, anechi chadasi, that's once. Uchazais asisi, so kazais is two more, but the vav of both of them is adding on another two, which makes four, which plus that one of now, makes for a total of five. So the Gemara asks, v'ad hashta, my time alo yanish, so why up until now were the Jewish people not punished for the misappropriation of Achin, just like they're being punished now? Hashem was saying, I'm going to punish the Jewish people because of what Achan did, but he had already done in times of Moshe Beinu. Why only now are they being punished for what he did? So he says, onash, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not punish the righteous people and the Jewish people, al hanestaris, for that which was concealed, what another sinner had done, rather only for their open sins. Only when the Jewish people crossed over the Jordan and they heard and they accepted upon themselves the blessings and the curses on Har Gerizim and Har Evil. And then, as the Gemara says in Masechet the Sotah of Lamed Zayin Beis, they became Arevim Zeh B'Zeh. They became guarantors and responsible for the other person's sins. We were like one person. So then immediately then they became punished one for the other one's sins, even if they didn't know that the other person committed that sin. And in the days of Achin, when he had misappropriated by Yeshua, they already had crossed over the Jordan, so therefore it was only then that they were being punished for what he had done. But in the past, the Jewish people weren't punished for concealed sins that another person had done, where here it was concealed, no one knew it that Achan had taken. Now, however, on this point that the Gemara had answered, the Gemara actually says Kirtanoi. That's actually Machalikas Tanoim. Because the passing in the Varm says, Hanistaris Lashem Lekenu, that which is concealed is for Hashem our God, Vanigos, but that which is revealed, Lanu Ulvanenu Adoilm is for us and for our sons forever. Now, the Gemara says, Lama nokid al lanu ulavanenu val ayin shaba'ad. Why there in the Torah scroll, if one looks, the words on lanu ulavanenu and the ayin of ad, it has dots on top of those letters. Why does it have that? So, there's a machlikis in this braisu. Melamed, the first opinion says, comes to teach, shalai onesh ala nestaris, because the Jewish people did not get punished for concealed sins of another Jew, at sha'av yisol sayarden, until the Jewish people crossed over the Jordan. That's the rebuke, that's exactly like how the Gemara just said before, to answer the question why the Jewish people didn't get punished when he was Maul in the days of Moshe, and only now in the days of Yeshua. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the way you interpret the pasuk is as follows. Hanestaris Lashem Elokeinu, that which is concealed is for Hashem our God, which sounds like he has to go ahead and collect from the sin of the person who sinned, but that's not our responsibility because we don't know about it. In contrast, Vanigulis Lano, that which is revealed to us, we know other Jews that are sinning, so that's a responsibility that we carry. Now, if the words Lanu Levanenu and the Ayin did not have the dots on top of it, so I would have thought to say that that's the way it would be forever. That's why the dots on it come to expound to say that no, this rule of that exempts us from another Jew's hidden sins is not forever. That's only until they crossed over the Jordan River. Now, actually, Rashi says that really the dots should have been on the words Lashem Elokeinu, which that because the dots always minimize. It's a mute, which would come to tell us that it's not going to be forever that the Nestaris is Lashem Elokeinu. But it's not appropriate to have dots on top of Hashem's name. So rather, the dots were put on the words Lanu Ulvanenu, which come to say that it doesn't belong over here, these words. It doesn't belong after Vahanigloys. Rather, it actually belongs before Niglois. And it should be expounded as if it said Hanistaris Lashem Lekenu, Velanu Ulvanenu. Because we also are going to get punished from the concealed sins of another Jew. But if it had been written like that in the Pasuk, so then that we would have understood to say that would have been even before the Jews crossed the Jordan River. That's why it splits it and puts it later, but it puts dots in it to say that it's actually partly here and partly there. To tell you that, yeah, up until now, meaning at the end of the 40 years, which is when the Pasuk was said to the Jewish people in Arvis Moyav, so then the Nestaris was only for Hashem Likenu. But from here on, then it's going to be even Lanu Ulvanenu, and that's why the dot is only on the word Ad. It's only on the letter ayin of the word ad to divide and to say that although it says ad oilam, but it's not always going to be ad oilam. Meaning, what was originally from this thing, that's changing right now, and it's only from now on that there's going to be ad oilam, which is the dots that's changing, that's saying that, yeah, the nistaris, from now on, when we cross over the Jordan, we will be responsible for another Jew's sins, even what's nister, even what's concealed from us. But beforehand, it was only on the niglis. Now, Amalei Reb Nechemya says to Rabbi Yehuda, V'chi anash ala nistaris? Do you think that the Jewish people would get punished for another Jew's private sins, la'olam, forever. But Valikvar Nemer Ad Oilam, but it already says in the Pasuk Ad Oilam. Now, if you would think that the word Ad Oilam, which says whatever the Pasuk says is forever, is not going on the Nistaris, which we're saying it says that's only for Hashem and not for us, to say that if you would think that it would actually be telling us that forever would be this Midah, that you shouldn't say that when they cross over the Jordan and then they accept Arevis and responsibility that they should get punished one from the other, so then why does it say in the Pasuk Ad Oilam? If you think it's for the liability of the Niglois, obviously that punishment would apply forever, because why should it stop? Ella rather says Reb Nechemya, the dots on the letters come to teach you that this that it says Haniglis Lanul Venenu, and that now according to his interpretation makes sense why it's on Lanul Venenu, not on Hashem, is because actually up until now this law did not even apply. It's only from here and on that it's going to apply, and that's what the dots are minimizing. It's saying Kesheim Shalei Onesh Al Nistaris, just like another Jew does not get punished for another Jew's sins. And according to Reb Nechemya, that's even forever, even after they crossed over the Jordan, because how could you punish another Jew when he doesn't know what the other Jew did? Kachli Anish, that's what the Pasuk is teaching, so too that they did not get punished. Other people, Al Einshin Shabagolu, even for the revealed sins of another Jew, Atcha Abi Yisrael Sayyad, until the Jewish people crossed over the Jordan. So, Behuda holds, revealed, they always got punished. After they crossed the Jordan, even for concealed sins. Whereas Reb Nechemya says, no, concealed, they never get punished. And that's what it says, Ad Oilam, that exemption is Ad Oilam. So then what are the dots for? The dots are to say that actually even revealed sins, they didn't have any responsibility. There was no Arevis. Even another Jew's revealed sins, they didn't get punished before they crossed over the Jordan. Only when they did cross over, they did then accept responsibility for the revealed sins. Now, but then the Gemara asks, okay, so the Gemara's previous answer was based on Rabbi Huda's version. So Ella, the Gemara asks, but then the Kuntra of Nechemya, then even after they crossed over the Jordan, they should not get punished for another Jew's concealed sins. So the Gemara continues on top of Mendal Manalf, so Achin Maitame Yanish. Then why did the Jewish people get punished because of what Achin had done? But that's from the Nistaris. The Jewish people did not know. They had to make a lottery. They didn't know what he even did. Why, according to Reb Nechemya, did the Jewish people get punished? So the Gemara Mishum Dabi Yadi Bei Ishtei Banim, because it was not totally concealed. His wife and the kids knew about it, so it wasn't totally Nistar, and therefore, since there was an element of Nicholas over there, that's why the Jewish people got punished for that. They just had to find out, so that's what did the lottery. But that explains why in the Me'ilas that he did in the Haram of Moshe Rabbeinu did not get punished, whereas only after they crossed over the Jordan, according to either interpretation of Reb Yehuda and Nechemya, then they, whether because now they got responsible for Nistaris, or according to Nechemya, that's Nicholas, it's only then that people knew about it, that then they were responsible for what Achan had done. But again, that's what the Gemara was saying, that just like Achan confessed, and he got kapar atonement, so to tell the person that's being stoned, confess, and then you'll have a chelik l'olam haba.